Which side raise up hands for the left hand? We did yesterday the mitzvah of the first night. That was the what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeshiva versus Achila.
Okay, good. So now we're going to Gimel. Okay, B'mesh Noagim K'daaser Beinu Tam. Revorach al Asuk K'davka Beis Achila. So, the Minhag Ashkenaz is to make the brach only when you eat bread. Something about eating bread has more of a mitzvah in the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah or cake, and that's when you make the bruch. But if you just go in and sit around, or even if you just go to sleep, you don't make a bruch according to Ashkenaz. Rambam says you make a bruch every time you go in, whatever you do in the sukkah, sleeping or sitting around. Going to the Rambam and make a bracha. Both the Mechaber and the Ramah paskin that you only make a bracha when you eat, which is interesting. No, the Vunagon changed it. He went back to the Rambam. You have a bracha every time you go in.
The Rambam was like the Rav Tam?
The Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam have a machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam says it only when you eat. Okay. So let's go on. The Meshanon Kadasa Benutan, the Vorach al Asuka Dafka Beisu Achila, his Banu Lamala, Shachila Machus Lasuka, Nachshevas Maisa Vera, Shall Bittle Mitzvahs Hasuka Bukumva Say, Umashara Maisi Machus Lasuka, Shaina Mahavimel of Bittle Mitzvah Suka Besheva Altaisa. Nekach ochila besuka hi a yeshiva ha besuka ha meula mikol yeshiva sa suka v'davka lehem avochim. Previously the Rav gave an explanation that when you have to do a mitzvah and you don't do it, it's called being mevatel the aseh. He came up with the idea that there are two ways of being mevatel an aseh. Sometimes you do it biyadayim, you do an action which as it goes against the chiv of the mitzvah. And sometimes you just don't do it. You're sheva altai, so you're passive. So that's a person who doesn't put on tefillin for a whole day. He's being passive. Okay. But sometimes you could go against the mitzvah in an active way. Okay. So I wanted to say that if you eat outside the sukkah, you're actively going against the mitzvah, and that he called a maisa aveira. He said if you do an action which goes against the mitzvah, that's called a maisa aveira. It's like a pretty serious thing. And if you just don't do the mitzvah, b'sheva al taisa, it's you definitely did something wrong. But he wouldn't call it a maisa aveira, just it's a lack of doing a mitzvah. So it's a fine point, but so we said that there could be a difference, and we know that the Gemara says that if a person does an aveira with an asay, he has to bring a carbon ola. That's machapa and a mitzvah asay. That would probably be only if he did an action, where there would be an aveira to go against the asay. But if he didn't do anything, it just was passive, maybe it would not bring that carbon. Okay, now, and so now, as he says here, it may be because, it's like a backwards swallow, that maybe because when you don't do the mitzvah, so eating outside the sukkah bread or cake is a real avera, it's being mevatel of the mitzvah in an active way, so when you sit in a sukkah, there's a difference between sitting there in general or eating there. When you eat there, you seem to be doing something very important in terms of the mitzvah. So, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, within a mitzvah, if you have one way of doing it which is central, most important, and another way of doing it which is important but not the most important, so you only make the bracha the most important part of the mitzvah, which would be eating. That's what he said in the first paragraph here. Now, he comes up with a little bit of a more positive way of looking at it. V'nivu latziya od nimuk v'minik sh'mavochim lak beisach. He says, I have another idea why Rabbeinu Tam said you make a bracha when you eat, only when you eat the bread, etc. V'shloma sh'rak v'achila besukah nachsheves l'maisa ha-mitzvah ha-meyuchad shal yeshiva sukkah. When you eat in a sukkah, you're doing a special, specific mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah and eating there. V'asher b'shah yeshiva b'sukkah, even though other ways of being in the sukkah, b'shein atam b'torah b'tiyul, you can sleep in the sukkah, learn in the sukkah, you can walk in the sukkah. V'kaimer me'efo mitzvah yeshiva sukkah, both in kol. That's a general mitzvah of living in a sukkah. Ach dafka achila b'sukkah, but when you eat in a sukkah, mahava maisa mitzvah shal yeshiva. That's an action of a mitzvah. Habracha ruskana al maisa mitzvah shal yeshiva besukkah. Broki mitzvah kvala shal yeshiva. The bracha is for the specific mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, but not for the general mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah. Now this is a svara that the Rav has. He uses it many times. That he claims that a birchas mitzvah, they were born with masakin, a bracha of a mitzvah, only when there's a specific maisa which you have to do for the mitzvah. There's a specific maisa mitzvah, so there's a well-defined action. So then you make a bracha. But if there's a general mitzvah which you can do many different ways, this general mitzvah, then there will not be a bracha, because it doesn't have enough of a specific maisa. That's his general svara. He uses it a lot of places. So, the basic idea is that within mitzvos, there are mitzvos which are general, called the mitzvah klolis, and then there are mitzvos which are specific, very well narrowly defined. He calls them mitzvos mesuyam, which are very specific in their way of doing it. So normal mitzvahs that we make brachas on are these specific mitzvahs, like putting on tefillin. It's a very specific way, you know what to do, eating the matzah. Anything which is specific as a ma'isa mitzvah gets a bracha. Now there are a lot of general mitzvahs which you can do many ways, and there's no bracha. For example, avas Hashem, loving Hashem, Yiras Hashem, davening, you know, tefillah. Kibbud av v'aim. So we have mitzvahs which are klolis, which are very general in their nature. A person has a lot of freedom, leeway to do in different ways. So there they did not make a bracha, a brichas a mitzvah. So based upon this yesod, you know, this basic principle that the Rav thinks is correct, that you make a bracha only in a mitzvah mesuyemes, but not in a mitzvah klolos. You make a bracha when it's very specific, the performance, but not if it's a general. So he says even within the mitzvah of sukkah, there can be two parts of the mitzvah. There's a general mitzvah of living in a sukkah that you do many ways. You can eat there, sleep there, walk there, talk there, type there, whatever you want. It's like living in a house, so there's so many things you can do. That would be the general mitzvah of living in a sukkah. That would not get a bracha. But then there's one thing, if you do that in a sukkah, that's called a specific mitzvah. That's eating bread or cake. If you eat bread or cake, eat the kibbetza, like putting on tefillin, it's like eating matzah. It's very specific mitzvah, and that does get a bracha. Even within the same mitzvah, there could be a general part and a specific part. And the bracha was only created, as usual, for the specific mitzvah, the, what he calls the ma'aseh mitzvah, the act which is very specific, and that's the ma'aseh of that mitzvah. The mitzvah klalus doesn't have a bracha. You got it? Yeah.
Where do we know this from, that achila is specific?
Oh, so there's a chiyuv the first night to eat in the sukkah, and that learns out from matzah. So that gives us the this idea that eating has a special niceness, because it's like eating matzah on Pesach. So that's why the first night you have to do it, but the rest of Sukkot it's an option. But when you do it, you're doing a real nice mitzvah, the holy mitzvah. And that's why you make a bracha. This is for, I think it's a good one. I like, happen to like it. Based upon a general yisod, a basic principle in brachas, that brachas are connected to a ma'aseh and mitzvah, not to a general mitzvah, but a specific ma'aseh.
First, you have to make the bracha of sitting in the sukkah, and then you eat, or you
yeah,
eat and then you
right now you make the bracha, then you eat, because you always make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. It's machlokes the Rambam and the Raiva. Let's say you, the Rambam seems to say you make the bracha when you're standing, and then right before you sit down. And the Raiva says no, sit down and then make the bracha before you eat. Well, the Rambam in general, he doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam that the bracha is connected to eating. He thinks that to make the bracha on anything you do in a sukkah. So first thing you do is sitting down, so you should make a bracha before you sit
down. Before you do it, because it's an action.
Yeah.
You don't need a bracha at all. Let's say a person's not eating, he's just coming to sukkah and sitting there all day, but he's not hungry, so then he doesn't need a bracha.
Right. Does not make a bracha. Right. Come to bring the time. And the Machab and Ulmah pass like that also. Mentioned the Tafre Shlam and Tesla passing for bring the time. It's very unusual that the Machab, who's a Swabi, he passes for bring the time. The Mishnah Berurah starts moving away from it because there's a Vilna Gaon that passes like the Rambam. It's interesting.
Maybe because all that seems like the most important concept is the eating. That, meaning, according to the discussions in the Gemara, where it's all about. They're worried about where you eat, so maybe because of that importance, they try to stress the importance.
Yeah, so that's what Rabbeinu Tam uses that language. He says it's the ikar mitzvah. It's the most important part of the mitzvah. The Rav uses his language. He calls it the ma'aseh mitzvah. Instead of a mitzvah klalus, he uses his language. It's a briska language. Rabbeinu Tam uses a more general language. It's the most important part. Okay, he's going to move over to the Rambam in a little while. We'll continue. V'ayin l'kam and b'taisvis. So the next paragraph, he says, there's a taisvis. Shemavachom al sukkah dafur kol zman shenachnasim bo lechol or lishon. He expands it. He says, either eating or to go to sleep. Yotzei sheheim sovrim shesheyn eshova l'achila. So they feel that sleeping is also like eating. You sleep in a sukkah, that's a specific mitzvah. It's not a general mitzvah, but specific. It's what they say, you should make a bracha before you go to sleep, without even eating. Rashi says, There's a Rashi like that also. That's interesting. Rashi says it. Hika yeshivas hasukkah achila shesiyah v'shem. Eating, drinking, and sleeping is the main mitzvah. So Rashi uses those expressions. Hika mitzvah. So according to this other opinion, you would make a bracha going to sleep. Because that's also called a ma'isa mitzvah, specific mitzvah.
This is Rashi?
Yeah, it's a Rashi in Dav Chav from the
base. You make a bracha before you go to sleep?
No, he just says it's the ikar mitzvah, it's the main part. Same language as Rabbeinu Tam. So we would think that according to Rashi, you would make such a bracha for sleeping. And there is a Taisus like that, and then Vav, Taisus says, you make a bracha for going to sleep. Okay. It says there's a very interesting story. Someone told me, I'm not sure if it's correct, but someone told me the story about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He said that in his yeshiva there was a small sukkah and there were a lot of boys and everybody wanted to sleep. So he said like this, let's say five boys go and fall asleep, take them out when they're sleeping, and then the next five boys will go there and go to sleep. Like a rotation going to sleep. He said that the mitzvah is to go to sleep. But while you're sleeping, you're not doing a mitzvah. So you can take them out when they're sleeping. That's what he said. Because he says a sleeping person is not active in any way. He's not aware of what he's doing, so he can't call it a mitzvah. Just going to sleep is a mitzvah. So, I personally have a problem with it. I think that that this is an unusual exception to the rule. Yes, someone who's asleep is considered to be pater for mitzvos because he's not conscious. So you don't wake up a sleeping person to say Kriya Shema at the time because he's asleep, he's pater. But I think that the sukkah, since it says teshuva, you should live there, sleeping is part of the dwelling. So I think here the Torah just made an exception that while you're sleeping, you do get a mitzvah. So I wouldn't pull a person out of the sukkah while he's asleep.
So in order to complete his mitzvah, he needs to wake up in the sukkah then?
I think every second he's in a sukkah, he's getting a mitzvah. His body's inside the sukkah, so he doesn't have to be consciously aware that he's doing a mitzvah. Especially if you think of it as a general mitzvah, another mitzvah klalus. So it's just a situation. If you're in that situation where you're dwelling in the sukkah, you're getting a mitzvah. And the rub is so that. No ma'aseh mitzvah involved here, just a mitzvah klolos. So I don't know how much you have to be aware. Okay,
so
that's how your father said. Your mother's alone, so she says, "Sleep with me tonight in my house because Abba went away on a trip. I need some company." So you go there and you sleep with your mother. So while you're sleeping, are you getting the mitzvah of kibbudim?
I'd like to say yes.
I would say yes because it's a case where the sleeping itself is, it's a general mitzvah, it's not ma'aseh that I have to do a ma'aseh. I have to do a ma'aseh, then you can say a sleeping person is not a ba'al ma'aseh mitzvah, you can't do a specific ma'aseh. A sleeping person will wear tefillin and is not going to get a mitzvah, because you can't do a ma'aseh. And tefillin is a ma'aseh mitzvah. But helping out your mother is a mitzvah klalus, it doesn't make a difference, it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah, so just being there and helping her out.
So every second that you're there, you got another mitzvah. Stacks.
Yeah. Same thing with the sukkah. Every second you're in the sukkah, you get a mitzvah. It's sleeping also. That's what I would think. And that, like Shlomo Zalman, he seems to feel that everything you're doing in the sukkah, it has to be a maisa, it has to be some kind of an action which you take credit for, and that's only if you're awake. Okay. It could be that according to maybe that Tosfos that has a bracha on sleeping, maybe the mitzvah is not going to sleep, not sleeping, but the mice are lying down, trying to fall asleep, because you're making a bracha. So there is a mice in mitzvah. Okay. We don't pass man, we pass pain, only eating, not sleeping. There's no bracha for sleeping. Okay, Omnam HaTosfos, there's another Tosfos he says here in the bottom of the Tzadik Beis. Omnam HaTosfos in Brachos Yudalev Sovereign, Shemuvachim Dafka Al Hoachilo. He says you only make a bracha for eating, and Mukhaman, he says the reason is, Shachila Besukkah Yesha Kavua. When you eat in the Sukkah, it's a specific time. When there's a breakfast, and there's a lunch, and there's a supper. So I think he's trying to explain why we consider it a Maisa Mitzvah, because it has a schedule. So since it has a schedule, so it gets a specific character. And that gives it the status of a Maisa Mitzvah. Taz, the Daik Matosfos, the Taz says that based upon this, even let's say you're sitting a whole day in a Sukkah, he should make a bracha every time he eats a meal. Otherwise, like this. Let's say he came into the sukkah and he ate breakfast. And he made a bracha for the breakfast because he ate bread. Good. And he stays there. Now it's 1 o'clock. Now he's going to get his lunch. So the Taz says he should make another bracha. Because when he finished breakfast, this is how the Rav is explaining it. When he ate the breakfast, that was a Maisa Mitzvah, so he made a bracha for the Maisa Mitzvah. He finished the breakfast, he benched. Now he switched over to just sitting in the sukkah, which is a mitzvah klolos, a general mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah is finished. And the general mitzvah does not need a bracha. So he basically does that general mitzvah staying in the sukkah without a bracha, because there's no bracha on the general mitzvahs. Then he gets lunch. He's still been sitting in the sukkah the whole time. He gets lunch. He's now doing another ma'aseh mitzvah. So now he makes another bracha. It's like a person put on tefillin in the morning, made the brachas, put on tefillin, takes them off. And then 5 hours later, he puts on the tefillin again. So he's going to make another bracha because it's another ma'aseh mitzvah, panachas tefillin. Same thing here. The Taz says every meal gets its own separate category of being the main mitzvah or the ma'aseh mitzvah, and it gets its own bracha, even though you were sitting there the whole time. Because you want that first bracha that you made on breakfast is gone. That's only for that ma'aseh mitzvah of breakfast. It doesn't connect to the sitting in the sukkah after the breakfast. Now you eat a lunch, you make another bracha. It's a very interesting Taz. Yeah.
What does it mean that it's at a set time for eating?
Because there's a beginning and there's an end. You sit down to eat and then you bench, so you make another meal, so you have has its own.
It doesn't
necessarily mean that you have a time on the clock, but it just means that it has a beginning and an end. Every meal.
Sitting.
Yeah, sleeping does, but still, man, it doesn't turn it into a ma'aseh mitzvah.
So don't we say by the machlokes about how many meals you have in the sukkah, and Chum say that you only need to have, if the Ezer says 14, right? And because that's how many you normally have at home, so you have to have that much in the sukkah. Chum say, no, there's no set amount, however much you want. If you want to eat it, then you should eat in the sukkah.
Right.
So it sounds like there's not a set.
No set schedule, yeah, not like that Tosfos. Brachos. I think he's just trying to give some kind of a reason why this stands out as a special kind of a yeshiva. So he says, because it's something people do regularly. So we have a good question from sleeping. Could be sleeping, but sleeping like Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, it's not a nice mitzvah at all. It's because a person's asleep. They have to go to sleep, but that's a general mitzvah. It's not a nice mitzvah. But eating is a nice mitzvah because eating always has a certain creed. You sit down and you sit at a table and you set yourself up. And usually you have a certain amount of time that you eat. So that gives it a certain specificity. It becomes a specific format of doing the mitzvah of yeshiva's pesukim. Because of this creed, it's this special. Focus on eating, and it's in a home. It's the kitchen is the most, maybe the most important room in the home. Kitchen and the bedroom. Yes.
So I have a separate but maybe related question. So when for Kriyas Mezuzah, they say 30 days, right? If you're in a dwelling place for 30 days, you put up a mezuzah. So
right.
Is it? So what if he every other day he's somewhere else? So meaning he spends one day there.
Depends on the rent.
And then he goes somewhere else.
How much is he?
So how do we stack the 30?
How's he paying the rent? Per day or per month?
Per month, or even if it's
Then it's a month.
So
he's paying for it.
So I guess what I was.
I don't know. I understand what your question is, because 30 days he's trying to establish this as his dwelling place.
Right, because if you eat there on one day,
so you're saying,
but he's going to go somewhere else for another 30 days, and he comes back there.
You have to check the din. But it depends on the contract, or depends on how he behaves. I would think it's a contract, but you have to look it up. Yes.
Also, so why would you think in Europe that he was everyone doing a mice and mitzvah, but he was still in the same mitzvah of sukkah all the time, being a kayan, right? Even mitzvah kolis, but in a kayan something.
Right, for sure.
So why is he thinking in bracha?
Where is the hefsik, you mean? There's no hefsik. Can you consider the second meal a continuation of the first meal? That's sort of your question. There was no hefsik, so. But there's a Mishnah Brewer here, you see, and I think he disagrees with this Taz. First of all, the Mishnah Brura quotes the Rambam's opinion that you make a bracha just for going into the sukkah. Okay. That would be, of course, against the Taz. But then he says that we paskin that you have to eat. Okay. But he says you should always try to eat right away, because you have to be afraid that maybe the Rambam is right. Maybe you should make a bracha right away. So therefore, eat right away and make a bracha, so you don't say everybody should do. Okay. He passes against the Taz. He says that it's a continuation of the mitzvah. He says, like you're claiming. So if you make a bracha in the morning, and as long as you're staying in the sukkah, it's fine. You make another meal, you also don't have to make another bracha. There's no hefsik from that first bracha to the next bracha. He does quote the does quote the opinion of the Taz. He says some people do pass Kamakim. But he says some people think that if you walk out of the sukkah and then you come back, you have to make another bracha. He doesn't think so. He thinks only if you go to shul, let's say. But if you just go out for and go to the bathroom, let's say. So he says that's not called a hefsek in the mitzvah of the sukkah, because he wants to come back. But if he decides to leave the sukkah and he doesn't plan to come back right away, that would be a hefsek.
So he needs to maintain a constant kavanah?
That he wants to come back.
So even if he's out of there for 30 minutes, if he has a kavanah?
That I'm coming back. Yeah, that would be okay. According to Mishnah Berurah, that you don't make another bracha. Right. But if he goes out and forgets about the sukkah, he gets busy in something else, that would be a half sukkah. He also makes a difference. He says, within the meal, he didn't bench yet. He thinks that going out is not really a hefsek, because you're still within the same meal. It's only if you bench, then you go out, that would make leaving the sukkah. If you don't think about coming back right away, that would be a hefsek, if you benched. But if you didn't bench yet, it's in the middle of the meal, so by definition, you're going to come back in order to bench.
So he holds yeshiva then? Because if you want to say that Mishnah Berurah says achila, then he has to say when you once you bench, you finish your action. But if not, then maybe he holds yeshiva, not achila.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he's moving towards the yeshiva position, and not so strict about the achila position. But he doesn't go all the way. He doesn't say. He says you should worry about it, and we recommend very strongly whenever you come into the sukkah to eat right away. So that's why you ought to see both opinions, because right away you're going to make the leisha for sukkah. So he does worry about the other opinions. And he does feel that also that if you ate one meal and you bench, but you stayed in the sukkah and then eat another meal, you don't have to make another bracha, because it's yeshiva. It's still, at the end of the day, it's one long yeshiva, and the first bracha still connects for whatever you're going to say. The truth of the matter is, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say that the bracha is strictly only for eating. He says, you make it on eating, and it takes care of all the yeshivas. It takes care of everything, because that's the main thing. He's not like the Rav. The Rav seemed to say that it's only on the achila, not on the yeshiva. Rabbeinu Tam seems to feel once you make the bracha for the achila, it's already chal for the yeshiva too. It's not that. So if you eat your meal, if you make a bracha, eat a meal, then you bench and you stay there, you're getting a bracha for staying there, because maybe the general yeshiva is not chashuv enough by itself to make a bracha. But if it connects to a meal which is chashuv enough, then the bracha goes on everything. That's what it seems to have been not like the Rav. So then for sure you won't make another bracha for the second meal, because that first bracha is still going on. That's basically the minhag. The minhag is like what I just said, that you make a bracha on the first meal and you sit there, and then eat another meal, or whatever you do, or go to sleep. All of that is considered one big mitzvah with one big bracha. In other words, the takana was to make it on the ikka ha-mitzvah, the maisa ha-mitzvah. But once you're making it for that, then it goes on the mitzvah clothes. It goes on everything. It doesn't disappear or dissipate. It stays in force, and therefore it's good for the whole day, basically. That's the minhag. Not like the Taz. What you said, that really, at the end of the day, the bracha is on yeshiva. But it begins with achila. Yeah.
So, when you're sleeping, you're not required, you don't have your patur mitzvos, right?
Yes.
So I want to say maybe once you're sleeping, now there becomes a period of time where you're not patur for mitzvah. When you wake up, now you are. So there's a hefsek between being chayav and patur.
You're saying that if a person, let's say he made a bracha for supper and then he went to sleep. So, okay, so we said that the bracha goes on everything. Once you say for the achila, it's chal on the whole yeshiva. Now you're saying if he's sleeping there, so therefore, according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that while he's sleeping, he's not doing a mitzvah, then for sure when he wakes up in the morning and he eats again or whatever, he's going to have to make a bracha because there was a hefsek on the mitzvah while he was sleeping. If you say, like the other opinions, that while you're sleeping, you can get a mitzvah, so the question is, but in general, a person sleeping is part of more mitzvahs. It's probably part of the mitzvah of the bracha. So it could be he's getting a continuous general mitzvah of yeshiva, but he's not... You want to say maybe on that bracha there'll be a hefsek because since he can't make a bracha, well, he's part of brachas when he's sleeping, even though he's involved in the mitzvah of yeshiva basuk. But on the bracha side of things, there's a hefsek.
Because there was a change in status.
Right. So therefore, when he wakes up in the morning, even though it's in the same sukkah, whatever, he goes out and comes back, he wasn't really mafsek. You're saying that but sleeping itself would be a hefsek, would make a new relationship for sukkah in the morning. That's a very interesting point. Hey, the truth, it's very relevant because a lot of people sleep in the sukkah and they wake up in the morning and they come back. They drink maybe a coffee, some people eat even a piece of cake. So should he make another leishah basukkah? And a piece of cake he eats in the morning before he goes to shul. So he's in the sukkah, but he slept there. So you're saying, even if we'll say that sleeping is a mitzvah, but maybe there's a hefsek on the bracha. Because he can't make a bracha when he's sleeping, it's part of the brachas. So there's a hefsek on that level. So now he make a new bracha in the morning. So I don't know. It's an interesting circle. Basically, the thing is like this: that there's usually we say when you have a suffix about a bracha. The hakel, you don't make a bracha, but there's a Rebbe Kivager, he says we have a svek sveka, a double suffik, with 3 out of 4 possibilities are to make the bracha, then you should make the bracha. In other words, if you have 2 svekos, 2 questions, and if you look at 3 out of 4 possibilities, you'll make a bracha, so you would make a bracha. So he like this. He went to sleep. There is a hefsek because he's not in kaim any mitzvah while he's sleeping. So that's already 1 out of 2 possibilities. The other possibility is that he was in kaim any mitzvah. Okay, good. Then, so that suffix, he won't make a bracha in the morning. However, even on the side, that he's Mekayim the mitzvah. So it's not that sex a little long way. But maybe there's a he's Mekayim a mitzvah. But maybe there's a hefsek on the bracha. So there's another suffix. So now you have really, as we said, 3 out of 4 possibilities that he should make a bracha. So it's a sex tilted towards making a bracha. The only out of all the possibilities, the only way you won't make a bracha is if you decide that sleeping is a mitzvah and the hefsek of the bracha is not a hefsek, but you won't mafsek from the mitzvah of eating or sleeping and being a yeshiva. So, but otherwise, you would make a bracha, according to Shlomo Zalman, you certainly would make a bracha, even if you say that sleeping is a mitzvah, but maybe it's there's a hefsek on the bracha, because a sleeping person can't make a bracha. Even though he can do the mitzvah. So that's a question whether that's called the hefsek. So, even if it is a hefsek, you wouldn't make a bracha. So, anyway, 2 out of 3 possibilities. The rove of the possibilities that you would make a bracha. So therefore, according to Pekin Rega, you should make a bracha in the morning.
And you could still say that while he's sleeping is getting a mitzvah, the second he wakes up, the change in status necessitates a new bracha for Achila.
Well, again, if the Taz comes up and says every time you're doing Achila, even though there was a continuation of the yeshiva from breakfast to lunch, but it's a new Achila, so he says you make a bracha for every Achila.
Or even for yeshiva, maybe, because you still have a change in status. So we won't take away his mitzvah.
I don't know, you're saying in the mitzvah of 7 days in the sukkah, it's probably one long mitzvah of 7 days, not that every day is a different mitzvah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. If every day is a new mitzvah, then you would make a new bracha. But if it's just one long mitzvah of 7 days, the way the Torah writes it, it says Shivas Yamim Teshu V'Sukkos. It says Shivas Yamim, 7 days. It's like a unit. So it seems that it's a single unit, and the idea that every morning is a new starting fresh, it's not really the way it appeals if you say it's one mitzvah, 7 days. But every day is another mitzvah. But that really should start at night. Every night would be a new mitzvah, not every morning. Yeah. All right, good. Yes, yeah, so the Rav, he quoted that right, that every day is a different mitzvah of Kabbalah. But I don't know if he said that as far as... That's how he explains the Gemara, that you can say full halal every day, because every day is its own separate kedusha. But I don't know if in the mitzvah of Sukkah that's true. For Kabbalah it's true. Maybe for Simcha, Halal Simcha, so maybe every day is a different Simcha. But I don't know, sitting in the Sukkah, we say every day is a different mitzvah, or if it's one long mitzvah of 7 days. It's an interesting question you have there, because as we said, it's tilted towards making a bracha in the morning, so therefore you should make a bracha. I would think so. I don't know what people do. I don't know. Well, Mr. Guru says Shavuot moves quite a bit towards the Rambam. He says that the only time we paskin that you should stick to the making bracha when you eat is that if you're going to eat. Let's say you're not going to eat this whole day, he's not going to eat in the sukkah. He's visiting somebody and he's not going to eat there any cake or anything. So then he says you should make a bracha for coming in. He reinterprets this whole Rabbeinu Tam. He says Rabbeinu Tam is he and the Chayada say if you're not going to eat a meal there, you're just going to be there, you should make a bracha just for being there. second. Come right back. Behind.
Loud.
See, he's he has a chiddush that the Mishnah threw that even the Rabbeinu completely different from the Rav. The Rav assumes that according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're not making a bracha on the other things at all. You're just making a bracha for achila. That's a ma'isa mitzvah, and the other things are not a ma'isa mitzvah. He's learning. Difference as well completely. He's learning that you're making a bracha for everything, but it's a hiddur mitzvah. It's nicer to make it on the main part of the mitzvah. Even though you're delaying the bracha, let's say you come in at, I don't know, 11 o'clock and you're going to eat your lunch at 12 o'clock. So for 1 hour you're just learning. So he learns, but you're going to make the bracha at the 12 o'clock lunch. So that's going to be a nicer mitzvah, and you should make the bracha on the ikkar mitzvah, and then somehow with that bracha making it 12 goes backwards and it works on what you were doing from 11 till 12. That's how the Mishnah Berurah learns. Yeah.
You say it goes backwards though? Because I thought you said that you should try whenever you go in the sukkah right away.
Oh, Mishnah Berurah says you should try to eat right away, yeah. So he's being concerned, but he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you don't do that, what he recommends, if you, it's so easy to do what he recommends. Every single time you go into the sukkah, you're going to eat a piece of cake, you're going to get too fat. So if you do it like the original Rabbeinu Tam, that you eat at some top point. So then it turns out that it's a chiddush that you can make a bracha. Normally you make a bracha before you begin a mitzvah. But if you make the bracha in the middle of the mitzvah, and that's the best spot or the best point to do it, so then the whole mitzvah gets credit for the bracha, even the first part, first section.
So it's not that he can make a bracha when he comes in and he will not eat.
Well, if, let's say he's going in and he's not going to eat at all, then he says you should make a bracha even according to Rabbeinu Tam for coming in.
If you'll eventually eat a meal?
If you eventually will eat, then you wait for the meal. But if you're not going to eat, then make the bracha right away.
Doesn't matter if you had a meal somewhere else in between?
In another sukkah? He says there's a machlokas whether switching sukkahs splits the mitzvahs or it's one. It's considered still the same mitzvah. He's not so sure. We should go about that. Let's say you go from one sukkah to the next. Are you going to say the bracha from the first sukkah now is gone because I'm at a different sukkah? He's not so sure about that. It's a machlokas, yeah.
Maybe it was like the first thing that I said, that it's... either way, it's the same mitzvah. If you eat in outside the sukkah, if you eat in the sukkah, you're sitting in the sukkah. But it's that one of them is more important. It's the mitzvah eating the ma'isa
of being mevatel.
You're being mevatel if you don't do that. So that's why you should wait, even though you're losing out on the bracha for the first part. But it's better to wait for that.
Okay. Or you can say that. Maybe he's going a completely different direction from the Rav, that he doesn't feel the bracha connects to the maisa mitzvah. The bracha connects really to the kiyum of the mitzvah. I'm being mekayim the mitzvah. So as long as I'm there for 5 hours and getting one gigantic kiyum mitzvah of being in a sukkah, so whenever I make the bracha, I make the bracha. And if I get the bracha in the middle of that kiyum mitzvah, so fine. You know, if it's a better spot. It's a completely different approach. Completely different. Yeah.
So if somebody is having a meal and they forgot to make the bracha at the beginning, right, the halacha is they should make a bracha as long as they're still in the sukkah.
Right.
So I guess that makes sense, like in a shabura. But right. For the rav, that doesn't make sense to because
as long as he's in the middle of the meal.
In the meal. And if he's
but if he's had finished with the meal and he benched according to the rav, he would not make a bracha now. Because it switched to a general mitzvah. According to Mishnah Berurah, you will make a bracha. He doesn't have this whole idea of a general mitzvah versus a specific mitzvah. Doesn't he? Maybe he thinks everything doing the sukkah is specific enough. It's inside a sukkah, so it's a nice mitzvah. So just a certain part of it, the eating is the ikkar, is the osmahuda, it's the nicest part of the mitzvah. And then you make the bracha there, but really it goes on the whole kiyum of the whole mitzvah. That's how the Mishnah Berurah is learning. Yeah.
So if you started a meal one day and then it continued till the next day?
I mean, at night, you started before daybreak?
Yeah.
I don't know, you're going back to that original question whether every day is a different mitzvah, no?
Perhaps.
Okay, I don't know. We said that. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I don't know what the rule would be from one day to the next, if it's two mitzvahs. You could argue it's every day, but I don't know. But the day... It's a complicated question because if you say that every day is a new mitzvah, when does that day start? Does it start at night or does it start in the morning? Okay. Now let's go inside a gimel, the top, second paragraph. After Nifna Ladas Rambam. Now let's go over to the Rambam. He says, calls man. Whenever you go into the sukkah, you should make a bracha before you sit down. So he wants to explain why is the Rambam emphasize so much as you sit down. Why is he emphasizing before you sit down? You should make a bracha just for walking in. For the Omid, but if it just stands there in the Yoshev. The Rabbi asked this question. Nira, Kaladas Rambam, Machayev Shal Pichas HaSukkah, Hu Akviyas B'Sukkah. The Rambam says you make a bracha for somehow being permanently or for settling down in the Sukkah. Rakish Yoshev Mamish Yesh Kviyas. If he sits down, then he's settling down. In other words, it says in the Chumash, Teishvi, you should live there. So, at what point are you considered dwelling? So, if you're going to sit, it's when you sit down. When you're standing and you didn't sit down yet, and you want to sit down, so that's not really settling down in the sukkah. So, you didn't really do the mitzvah of yeshiva. When you walk into the sukkah and you're going to sit down, you first begin the mitzvah, he says, when you sit down. Because that's when you settle down in the sukkah. So now you are yoshim in the sukkah. But just walking in is not dwelling. That's if he wants to sit. He doesn't plan to sit. He just wants to stand in the sukkah. Then standing will also be called being in the sukkah for a bracha. Let's say someone's standing and he's eating in the sukkah. But make a bracha. Okay. The rabbi is like Rabbeinu Tam, that the real settling down in the sukkah is eating. You have to make a bracha only when you eat. Ram gam the rabbi, but he feels like this. According to the rabbi, if he doesn't plan to eat, It's like the Mishnah Berurah already. Yesh chalot kviyat yeshiva v'sukkah. You consider being in the sukkah le'mavach, and v'ruv l'shon k'yeshiva al-da'at to achila. Kol zman she'ino ochel ha'bruch over l'mitzvi be'emet ad-kan. Yosek b'en l'ram b'en l'raivet, ha'machai b'bichat ha'sukkah hu ha'yeshiva b'kviyat v'sukkah. L'ram ha'kviyat nikvad v'yidei yeshiva mamish, k'dad l'shevet. L'raivet ha'kviyat nikvad v'yidei achila, k'shedaito lechol. So in other words, like this. It's basically what the Mishnah Berurah said, but the Rav is coming to it from the Rambam and the Raivat, not Rabbeinu Tam. That you make the bracha on when you're settling down in the sukkah, when that's called kviyut in the sukkah. So if you're going to eat, the Raivat says, that's when you're settling down. So you make the bracha before you eat. According to the Rambam, if you're going to sit down, even though you're going to eat also, but sitting down, it makes you kavu, it makes you settle in the sukkah. You make the bracha then. Okay. Mina kagrach, hoya levorach, ala sukkah, kol zman, shenichnis bo, kipsak hagro, kishidas Rambam, shlokah, v'tandur. The Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim, he would make a bracha whenever he went into the sukkah, like the Rambam, like the Gra, not like the Rabbeinu Tam. It's against the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramchaba and Ramah. But the fact is that Mishnah Berurah is pretty close to that, because he says it's only when you plan to eat, you wait for eating. But if you don't even plan to eat, you're going to make the bracha just for coming in. So a lot of times people are coming in not necessarily planning to eat. That's why, in fact, when you talk about eating, Shulchan Aruch says even cake is only if it's your meal. In other words, if you're eating let's say cereal, that's your breakfast. But if you just take cake as a snack, he doesn't say you make a bracha. So a piece of cake which is more than an egg, which is a normal size cake, he says there's no bracha. But he says here that the Mogen Avraham thinks that it has, it's just like bread. And Mishnah Berurah paskens, you only make a bracha if you make it in a meal. So,
is there an objective meal or a subjective meal? Because even if you don't want to make a bracha, but you're eating more than a kezias, so.
Well, the main thing is if you get into the beitza, that the kezias is only the first night.
Right. I mean, more than a beitza, because right away, it should make you, it should give you a chiyuv to make the bracha, because you ate the shiur.
That's for sure by bread. If you're moving over to, let's say, pizza,
that's if it's a snack.
Shulchan Aruch says it only. Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a piece of pizza, right, tavshalosamachameshasamina, you have something baked or cooked from the grains. It's not bread, though. Im kovei olav, if he decides to make this his real meal, choshuv keva v'tzoch sukkah, that's called really settling down, and that needs the sukkah. So he only says, if this is your lunch, so if your lunch is one or two slices of pizza, this is your lunch. If it's just a run, you're on the go and you're eating it in the car as a snack.
So the kavanah is important.
So the kavanah is important, according to Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah, he at the end of the day, he passes like that, because he says, even though the Magen Avraham says that, that cake or cereal is like bread, and just eating that beitzah makes you make a bracha, he doesn't agree with him. All right, and look, and it's exactly what you said to him. Mishnah Berurah brings down that it depends on exactly on the person. The day talia meal, so that individual person, he decides whether this is his meal. Teshu came to do, because you're living the way you live in the house. Kol shekov olav, if he decides this is his way of settling down, have a kviyas letzvicho sukkah. But the day talia meal, so depends on him. This individual, the Mishnah Berurah passes like that. So it's very subjective. According to him, it's very subjective. Yes?
So, I'm curious if there's a difference in the way we do the mitzvah and the way the mitzvah was done before when it was instituted, because over there, that was, they established a dwelling place and that's where they dwell. But we have a house to go into in between. So that, therefore, maybe this is why Reb Chaim Brisk held you should come in, every time you come in you make a bracha, because you, there's in between you were dwelling somewhere else, so now you're coming to dwell in the sukkah, so you make a bracha.
Yeah, he says you're making a bracha for just the yeshiva and the sukkah, right? Just the nice yeshiva, simple act of going in.
But it could be before they made one bracha for 7 days because they were constantly in the sukkah, that was their dwelling place.
Oh, maybe. But you know, there are two schools of thought. The vast majority of people are focusing on making the bracha when you eat. Not like Reb Chaim Brisk, every time you walk in. Even though the Mishnah Berurah says you make it, if you don't plan to eat, then you make it for walking in. I don't know. I haven't seen that practice so much. The way I see people, they're basically just waiting for eating bread. Now, when it comes to things like cereal and cake, maybe as Mr. Boo says, it depends on that individual, as whether he wants it to be a meal or not. Yeah. He's saying, yeah, but that's if you eat a large amount. Here he's saying that just if you decided that this is a meal, it's not a question. You don't eat so much, right? He says it's different than the whole year. This is a question of kviyas in the sukkah, which is not the same as making cake a year-round meal. He has a different, he says you can eat much less. Yeah.
Does the kavana make it that? Does the kavana change what bracha we make? If it's a bracha, if it's a full bracha samazon, or if it's
yes, so. But that we pass in. It's a question. But most poskim say that it's not enough the whole year to get it to a motzi. You can turn cake, you can turn pizza into a motzi. You can bench. But for that you have to eat, most poskim say, a large amount. I think Ravan Soloveitchik paskin that it also does depends on his kavana.
Meaning not
if
during
he
the
makes
year.
It a meal, it doesn't have to be a big amount. A big amount is without kavana, but once you have kavana, then by definition you're making it into bread.
So it's a special din by sukkah, where even if it's smaller than
Not smaller than a beitzah, but it's smaller than 3 beitzah. Usually, if you want to turn a pizza into a motzi, you have to eat 3 beitzim, which is a lot. They say it's 2 giant slices, 2 big slices. That's the whole year. But on Sukkot, if it's a beitza, 1 beitza, not 3, if it's 1 beitza, and your koveya, that would make it chayv in the sukkah according to the the Mishnah Berurah.
And if it's less than the Beitza?
No.
So what happens to his Kavanah?
It's wasted because it's not, it doesn't mean anything because he, you know, he's not behaving like a normal guy because normal people don't eat less than a beitza and make it a meal.
Does it become a bracha of a talent?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Then we have to qualify kavana as a psa.
Right. The Shuchno says im koveyol, which he has kavana to make it a meal. So good. But he doesn't say how much he ate. But the assumption of the Mishnah Berurah is that it certainly abates him, which is a normal size for sukkah. There's a whole discussion about wine. Because, you know, they used to have these drinking parties where you drink a lot of wine.
That could be.
That could be called also yeshiva / achila. Because if you drink enough wine, it gets chashivas, it becomes. There's that Rashi and Chav, he says, achila shesiya v'shena higa. So it means you see you're not drinking apple juice, you're drinking yayin. If you drink yayin, at some point it becomes chashiv enough to be called.
What was the third one? Achilashtiyah?
Shame, sleep.
So each one is different, according to him.
Going to rash. We don't pass that, we pass pin achil. Now as far as wine, there's a long Mishnah Berurah. He seems to say, He's leaning to the idea that no matter how much wine you're going to drink, you're not going to get a relationship with sukkah. But it goes back and forth about it. There's a very long discussion. I don't know exactly what way it's from, Sakas.
So,
Rabbi
Yehuda says, if you reconstitute food, it's a liquid form of food, but it's reconstituted, so that you're drinking it, but really it started off as food. So what are you eating or are you drinking? Because you have these superfoods these days that, you know, you pour in water and then there's your meal. You have your calories or whatever. Can we break down beitza or yotamei beitza into caloric values?
Oh yeah, so he has a little bit of a discussion here about eating fish or meat without any bread or any cake or whatever, or crackers, so you don't have that issue, but it's just meat and fish, let's say. So he says, he thinks it's a chumra. So he wouldn't make a bracha of leishah basuka.
On drinking?
No, he's talking about eating meat. Without any bread or crackers.
You would not make? So you have to have bread.
He says, though, but it's a good chumra not to eat it in the house. Because maybe it would be considered a meal for sukkah. So it's better not to eat it in the house. But it's a chumra, he calls it nacham ha'achmer. He doesn't say that he really requires you to eat it in the house.
He wants you to eat bread?
Yeah, he basically wants you to eat bread or crackers. I matzah, crackers, you know, beitza.
But if it's only stuff.
But if you're not going to do that, he has a very good psak. If you're going to eat bread, then wait for the bread. If you know, or a lot of crackers, or pizza, whatever. But if you're not going to, then make a bracha just for coming in.
So
even if you're bein otam, you would make the bracha just for coming in. He's not saying it out of the Rambam. Against the Rav. Who is a machlokes of Rav and a Mishnah Berurah. The Rav anyway passes like the Rambam because of the pain. So according to the Rav, you make the bracha every time you walk in, even if you're going to eat, you don't wait for eating. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it boils down to almost the same psak, except according to Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to eat bread, don't make the bracha until you get to the bread. If you're not going to eat bread, then make the bracha when you walk in. So they're basically almost the exact same. Halacha l'maisa, both the Rav and the Mishnah Berurah say that many, many times as you walk in, you should make a bracha. Unless you're going in close to the meal, so then according to Mishnah Berurah, wait for the meal for the bracha, for the bread.
But if you're not going to eat any bread whatsoever,
then you make a bracha for walking in.
But you should also at least eat.
Oh, then he says it's better to eat, because there's some people think you must eat, so it's better.
So eat a kibbutz, at least.
Yeah. That he yotze everybody. If you eat right away, then he yotze everybody, every possibility. Make a bracha and you eat right away. So you avoid any possible.
So just the way that they reach the conclusion is a little bit different, but halacha l'maisa, it's the same psak.
Pretty much. Not so different, the Rav and Mishnah Berurah in the psak, halacha l'maisa. But I don't know if people who follow this Mishnah Berurah, I think a lot of the Hasidim don't. They strictly, just what the Machab and Rav Moshe say, when you make eat the bread, you make the bracha, otherwise no.
The same way that we say, there's like a, if you ate outside the sukkah, or you sat outside the sukkah, so there's like a weaker, it's a week of avera, right?
Eating is a bigger avera than just sitting outside. Yeah.
But the same way that we're stratifying weaker, stronger, can we say the same thing by a mitzvah? So there's a weaker and a stronger mitzvah. So do we make two brachot? One when we come in, one when we eat bread?
Oh, to make two brachot. That Mishnah Berurah never mentioned that possibility. Yeah, the Taz says that. The Taz says you make a bracha every time you eat. You make another bracha, even though you made a bracha for coming into the sukkah or for breakfast, you make another bracha for lunch. There is a Taz like that. Yeah.
So halacha
l'maisa,
we make a bracha when even if we're not eating,
spending
a lot of time.
I do. I mean, I'm basically influenced by the Rav, of course, and the Mishnah Berurah also is getting very close to the Rav. Halacha l'maisa is psak. But I do try to. I do try to eat something if I can. If I'm a little bit hungry, I'll take a crack or something. But as he says, that's always the best way. Well, I would have to. The Rambam says to sit down, that's the kriyas. So I would have to sit down. If I just come in to speak to somebody, I want to tell somebody, you know, you have to. Someone came to visit you, live in the house. This guy is in the sukkah, right? So it's my son. He's in the sukkah. Or whatever. So I go in and tell him someone's visiting you, so could be good. So I'm not planning to sit down, so that's not considered to be in the sukkah. I just want to give somebody a message. I don't think I would make a bracha for that, but if I decide to sit down, So I personally throw in an extra little chumrah, but I don't think it means that much in halacha. I want to sit down and I want to eat something, not necessarily a crack. I want to eat, let's say, fruits or drink a coffee. Halacha, that's doesn't mean anything. It's not eating and it's not, it doesn't change really the kviyus. But in my head it does. In other words, if I know I'm going to sit there and go through, bunch of grapes, so I consider it that I was covering myself in the sukkah, I'm establishing myself, I'm settling down because I have a plate of grapes, I'm not going to be here for 2 minutes and go out, I'm going to stay here for a while, or I'll have a coffee, and so I always throw that in. I'll make the bracha, basically like the rav for coming in, and even like the Mishnah Brura, but I don't really trust myself that just sitting down is enough. I want to sit down and stay there for a while because of David's Dovid's question, and I don't know how long I'm going to be there unless I have a plan of some kind. If I have a plan, I'm going to learn my daf yomi, let's say. Okay, so why not have a coffee also? So it really makes me settle down. Or a plate of grapes. So I throw that in. I don't think any of the posts can throw in payros or mashka, a plain drink or soda as part of the kriyas. But in my head it is, and I think that Shulchan Aruch is speaking about, the Mishnah Brura also says that the kriyas is very personal. You decide. So for me the decision is, like, I know you're in this year because you have your Dunkin' Donuts coffee, so you're here. You're not coming in and running out. So, and many times I also have my coffee wherever over here. So for me that I throw that in as an added guarantee for the sukkah. But that's just myself, it's not halacha. Yeah.
So if you're trying to give like a time, that's not a good idea, right? Meaning you say half an hour is physical, but it depends on what he's doing.
Right. Depends what he's doing. But if I understand the half an hour is like halacha, it's a certain period which is recognized in halacha as being significant.
What about 9 minutes?
But 9 minutes is also recognized in halacha as being significant. So I don't know which timing that you're going to take as the significant period for the kriyas. You know? That's why I try to avoid that issue of time. I don't know how you figure that out. Is it 9 minutes, 18 minutes, half an hour? An hour, 2.5 hours, all these different time units that halacha pops up with. So I don't know. But to me, if you're going to sit there and you're going to snack on something, or you're going to do something significant like learning the daf yomi, it's going to take a little time. You're just going in there to say, if you're going to go in there, say Aleh Shiva Sukkah, sit down and then go out.
So it's weak, right?
It's a weak yeshiva. It's a very weak.
So it's a stronger, you're just making a strong kavan. You're just adding to the kavan.
Right,
you're giving
exactly.
It some substance.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing.
Right.
You should do that.
Yeah.
So if someone's going to sukkah to shiva, the just going in, it takes 2 minutes, shakes the water, and it goes
out. For me, I don't think it is, but maybe for the Mukubalim who understand all the meanings of sukkah with lulav, that is a kriyas, because they're putting together the shemos of the schach and the shemos of the sukkah with the four minim, or the four letters of Hashem's name, so there will be high level thinking for them. It's a kriyas in the sukkah. But they have all these kavanos of the shemos. For the regular guy who goes in there for, I don't know, 1 minute and he shakes the lulav and he walks out. I don't see how he's kavur the sukkah. So, but in general, I don't know. But anyway, it's a good question. I never saw anybody make a Aleh Shiva Sukkah when they go in to shake the lulav. I never saw anybody. I saw a lot of people go in, but I never saw anybody make a Aleh Shiva Sukkah. So,
there's a separate
wouldn't
pattern?
Do it. I mean, some things. Some things, you look at the minig and you say, you know, what does the minig say? Because it's hard to decide. Like, this is a hard question. This question of going in for a minute to shake a ruben and nesuk. It's a hard question.
Is it the action of shaking it that we care about, or is the action, is there a separate mitzvah to do it inside the
sukkah? Only mukupalim, only according to the Kabbalah, not according to Halacha. Halacha never said that.
So in order to be nechshav b'sukkah, you need to be kovei
yourself in the sukkah.
And if he did not, if he wasn't kovei, then it's as if he's standing outside. So therefore, he doesn't get the mitzvah of shaking the lulav and the sukkah. If it's one,
I'm just saying.
Union.
Right, so it's more, you know, how much does he know what he's doing? How much Kabbalah is he being?
If that's his mitzvah, then he didn't get it because he wasn't doing it the way that he knows he needs to do it.
No, I don't know that. I'm not saying that because the average person doesn't have these kavanot of Kabbalah. He just knows there's a sukkah and there's a little bit. It's nice to do it together. It's nice to be in the sukkah. I don't think he's thinking he's getting a mitzvah of sukkah, maybe. But even if he is, the world only makes a bracha when they eat. They don't make a bracha for walking in and out. They don't listen to Reb Chaim or even Mishnah Berurah. The regular Hamon, regular Jews, not in Englewood, not in Borough Park, They just make a bracha when they eat. Now, I don't know about Israel, I'm not aware of what they do in Israel, maybe in Israel. It's different, yeah.
So they hold like the rug in Ravinata? The rug's explanation in Ravinata?
Looks like it, yeah. The general minhag is like the rug's of Ravinata. That this is a special part of the mitzvah, the eating, and that's what called the nice of the mitzvah, and that got the bracha, nothing else. That's how the world, the Minhag America. Might as well, I don't know, as well they say it's very influenced by the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon is like the Rambam, that whenever you walk in, you make a bracha for yeshiva, you don't have to have any specific ma'aseh of achila. So it's a bracha just yeshiva, so for them it's a different story. The Chassidim in Israel, of course, are like in America, but the Litvish in Israel very much Vilna Gaon influence, because they were the original settlers of Yerushalayim with the Talmid Agra, and they established the modern Hagim of the Litvish, of the Ashkenazi Jews, and Israel follow a lot of Vilna Gaon. In Europe, no. But it's a very unusual twist that where he lived, they weren't listening to him. In Vilna, they were not. That they only made a bracha when they ate. Got to Israel, his Talmid came first, so they made a lot of minhagim like their Rebbe. And then everybody who followed was the minhag Ashkenaz, and I have to follow the local minhag to follow the minhag. It's like Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon became very important in Israel, as much as the Rama. The Rama says you have to eat, the Vilna Gaon says you just walk in and make a bracha. So in Israel, and a lot of people make a bracha just for walking in. It's like a bit of kvius. I mean, that's to walk in and run out. But if they settle down in the sukkah. But what's called settling down, I don't know. I mean, the people who shake a Reuven Esrig in Israel, they would make a bracha just for walking in. Yeah.
So the difference, though, between, we said the Shavua is very similar to the Rav.
Practically.
The Rav practically. But
not in theory, not in Svara.
But we said that, but there might be a difference that according to this passing like the Rama, right? And the Rama said that if you're just standing, you're planning to stand in the Sukkah, so then you would make a Rav if that's what you're planning to do. But the Shavua, did he say that? If you're just, if your Kviya is going to be to stand, right? Did he ever talk about standing?
And he doesn't want to make a bracha. I think he doesn't make a bracha just
for walking in. But there's a
reason. Yeah, if you're not going to eat. Oh, if you will eat, then wait for eating.
So it doesn't matter if you're standing or if you're sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Mishnah Berurah talks about kavana, so either way, whatever your kavana is.
Yeah, kavana is important.
So it doesn't matter if you're standing or sitting.
Right.
So, if you have a piece of bread, and if you have the caloric value of the piece of bread, and can that be koveya with the caloric value of a kveitsa?
It doesn't have the volume of a beitza.
Meaning, I have.
I think the volume. The halacha follows the idea of volume.
The volume.
Once a beitza, it displaces a certain amount of water. An egg, you drop it into a cup of water. Displaces
so it's volume rather than caloric value.
It's
like kilojoules.
It's volume.
So if you have some sort of volume that isn't physical, it's a liquid food. But it's you have your volume.
That's a very interesting question. It's a modern day question.
Because my friend, he skips meals. He has a drink. It's perfect food. It has everything you need. It's just like eating a meal. You just drink one bottle. You have your meal.
I see. I think you're getting into the problem of what he called the fish and meat question. If that's the meal, do you have to go to the sukkah? So he said, some poskim said yes, but most said no. He doesn't think you really have to, but he said it's a nice kumra.
Because he's partial to bread.
Yeah, he's partial to bread. Yeah. And for the grains. So bread, by definition, the size of an egg. And the grains, which are not bread, but it's other things like pizza, etc. That would be depending on what you want to do with it, if you want to make it a meal. But fish and meat, even if you want to make it a meal, he says basically you don't have to do it in a sukkah. But it's nice, because some people think you do. It's not mentioned in the Gemara.
But aren't they special foods? Aren't they like, it's a, like meat is like a kingly food.
Yeah. But these are definitely parts of a meal for Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's very clear. The question is this defined meal, or called a sudas keva, a fixed meal for sukkahs, for the mitzvah of sukkah.
So lachat chila, it's not just a lachat chila you should have it, but if you did it, then you got the mitzvah. But if you didn't do bread, then you don't really have a keva.
According to the Mishnah, he was basic psak. He says that the bread is the keva and not the fish and the meat, even though the Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's definitely part of a suda. But it's not enough for sukkahs. I don't know exactly what the reason is why the sudas keva of sukkah is defined by grain.
But could we stretch his kavana to allow it?
I say there is an opinion that says yes, you would. He would use his kavana to make it a meal and then he would have to go to the sukkah. Personally, so the Rambam writes that there's a very nice minhag. Even water, even fruits, only in the sukkah. So that from the Rambam you see that these very light foods, snack foods, do can become integrated into the mitzvah of teshu, of living in the sukkah. You can put the snack foods into that mitzvah, and if you do it, it's very nice. So that's another reason when I go into the sukkah and I want to make a bracha, I take a snack food with me, or fruits or something, or coffee, and since the Rambam says that that's part of the mitzvah if you do it, so obviously it's adding something to the yeshiva, because he says it's a hiddur, it's nicer, so it makes my yeshiva a little bit better, so it's more kavias.
I see. So you could work with their sock.
Yeah, I think the Mishnah Berurah has come so close to the Rambam and practically in the Rav that you really have a lot of leeway here to work with it and you can make the bracha. You don't have to be, but I think that the Hasidim are very, they won't, unless they really eat bread or a sizable amount of cake or cereal. And they make it a meal. Yes?
So I'm just wondering if someone has a kiddush and
okay, that's a very good question. The Rav, someplace here, says his father said, in Moshe Soloveitchik Paskin, that whatever the discussion about the eye in general, you drink wine, you drink a lot of wine, is that cool? It could be, is there something in halacha in general about that people get together to drink wine and one person makes a bracha for everybody else? It's a whole topic. There's a whole etiquette of drinking wine and as a group making a bracha, it's called kvis. So that's an issue whether that's enough for a sukkah.
I mean, eating cake also. They make kiddush and
they
eat.
Yeah, right. So what the Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, said was if you're doing a mitzvah like kiddush or havdalah, that creates enough of a kvis for sukkah. We should say Elisha B'Sukkah. We say Elisha B'Sukkah, we make Kiddush at night, so we should say Elisha B'Sukkah, you make Kiddush by day. And you also said Havdalah creates a Kvis B'Sukkah. Don't forget that this is, Kvis doesn't have a chance to make Elisha B'Sukkah just for coming in there and sitting down. Not to eat anything. I'm just glad I had to find where it is, but the Rav's father passed me that. I think the Kiddush is a no-brainer because everybody makes a Leishah B'Sukkah for Kiddush. Because you're being Makadish the Chag of Sukkot, so how can you say I'm being Makadish but I'm not Kavua, I'm not in the Sukkah? And so clearly you're in the Sukkah. And they'd say even a contravener time you'd make a bracha on that. Havdalah was more of a question because Havdalah is not the Makadosh Chag, it's basically just getting out of Shabbos, let's say. But he said that even Havdalah would be a Leisha B'Sukkah.
Is it because of the etiquette of wine, or it's because you have a group of people engaging in?
Because you're doing the mitzvah of kiddush and havdalah. It's a different thing. Yeah.
So I remember you saying about wine, just in general wine. But if it's true, so the person should have to make havdalah besides for wine, even if wine doesn't need to be in the sukkah, still make havdalah sukkah.
Right. That was the left side. It's far enough. That just for the havdalah you go into the sukkah. You know it's not so much wine, it could be a little, not a lot of wine. Okay, I should have looked at this. It's basically it as far as this section. Here she comes. So I don't know if we're going to meet tomorrow. I don't know.